Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
The title of our message is actually going to be, They Thought You Were Dead. And you're going to know where this is going very soon, but I want to remind you by way of announcement to continue to pray for Carmen Soto and also for Isabel. Isabel's doing better now. And also our mom got some news today concerning her health. It's not so wonderful, so pray for her also. So many things, but we know that God is faithful. We know that Jesus is the healer, right? So we trust in him. When you think of those people, please remember them in prayer. And I want to begin by telling you that I want to tell you a story. There was a man in India who was 20 years old, and he became very, very ill, and he got sick, and he died. And several days later, his family had they were about to have the service, and they were all standing around, and they had dug the grave, and there was dirt everywhere waiting to be poured on top of him at 20 years old. And his family was grieving and mourning, just like at the tomb of Lazarus, and very, very, you know, heartfelt and sobbing. And all of a sudden, someone thought they seen movement. They thought they seen that he was moving around a little bit. You know, that's, and they, of course, they thought they were seeing things, but they were not, because he started really moving around, really moving around. And he started moving his head, and he started trying to sit up. And by then, they're screaming, they're shouting, there's all of this going on because Muhammad is not dead. He is alive, very much alive. The family said in a statement that they were very, very traumatized by this. And I could picture this myself. You know, someone in my family has died, and I've got these deep emotions of deep sorrow. And in my heart, I've already said goodbye to them, right? I've already accepted the fact that you're dead. And all of a sudden, we're having the funeral, and you're not dead. And this is just shocking, isn't it? It's traumatic, but in a good way, right? Because soon there was time of celebration. Not too many days after that, there was after he went back to the hospital and was pronounced very much alive. Normally you get pronounced dead. Now you're getting pronounced alive. They had a time of celebration, of course, because he who was dead is now alive. And in this world, I'm going to get right into this. In this world, you will have trouble. You're not looking for trouble. I know none of you want trouble. I don't like confrontation. I don't want trouble. But you'll have trouble because trouble is looking for you. Because there is a lion out there, a devil who roams as a lion, seeking whomever he can devour. He's looking for weak prey. He's looking for unsuspecting prey. Here's the thing. As we begin this tonight, God needs a body. He needs us, the Holy Spirit in us, to advance the kingdom of God, right? So when God needs someone to work for him, he needs a person, a body. So does Satan. He needs people to inhabit people and to do his advance his kingdom too. But there are times in life when you're going to feel like all hell has broken out against you. No doubt, especially in these end times. And at some time, you're going to feel like Paul. Even Paul, as strong as he was, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "And lest I should be exalted," get in pride, "above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was sent to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to strike me, buffet me, come against me, oppose me, so that I should not be exalted above measure." So let me give you the PBK, popular translation of that. I, Paul, received many marvelous words from God, revelations like you can't believe. They were amazing. And because of this, God actually allowed a messenger of Satan to come against me and harass me. This was for a reason. God did this to keep me on my toes. He did this so I would not be lifted up in pride. In fact, he did this to keep me from exalting me. Me from exalting myself. That's why God did that. A messenger. a thorn in his flesh. So even Paul was somebody who had trouble, and we're going to talk about that tonight, the trouble that he had. In this life, if you follow Christ, you're going to have people oppose you. Get cozy with that. It's going to happen. Everyone is not happy that you're a believer. Everyone's not happy that you're blessed by God. Everyone doesn't want to hear the message you have to preach. Everyone doesn't want to hear the truth. Because 1 Corinthians says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So if you're serving God in these last days, and I know that you guys all are, I just want to ask you a question. Have you noticed an increased amount of demonic activity around you? Be honest. Have you noticed an increased amount of demonic activity around you? Does this sound strange? Does this seem strange to you? It should not. Because even in the Word of God, back in the days of the Bible, it was not the evil people who were being persecuted, was it? It was the believers. Nothing has changed. Except for the fact that the devil knows his time is short. Very short. Shorter than it was back then, by the way. Not just short, his time is shorter. And yes, Christ in you and I, he is greater. And yes, we are overcomers, but we still are in a battle. We are in a battle for souls. We are in a battle to stay the course. We are in a battle to keep the faith. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness and rulers in high places. So here's the thing. It can be hard not to be discouraged when it seems like everything has come against you. I said something yesterday that I want to repeat. Be honest. Doesn't it seem like sometimes, if you're honest in your heart, that evildoers sometimes seem to be more blessed than the people of God? Be honest. Be honest. Have you ever had that thought run through your mind? Why are they so blessed? And I'm dotting my I's, I'm crossing my T's, I honor the cross. It can seem that way. Doesn't it seem like, if you're honest again, that they have all the boats, they go on all the fancy vacations, their 401k is just growing, it's growing and growing, they drive all the fancy cars while you're making payments on your 2012 Ford Explorer, and you have to fix it every other week. It can seem that way, can't it? Yes, it can. But here's the thing. Don't be distracted by the riches of this world. They do not, I want you to remember this forever, they do not equal the favor or the blessing of the Lord. Do not be distracted by the riches of this world, because they do not equal the favor or the blessing of the Lord. And do not ever believe for one second that evil will get ahead or that evil is rewarded. All of this goods that you see around you, that people may have, those are temporary. Those are temporary. The rich, you possess something greater, the riches of the kingdom. How many times did Kathy Paget and I talk, and she would say the words, "My father owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. That is in the scripture. You are rich because you have the kingdom. Your father is a king. And things don't satisfy anyway. Only Jesus satisfies. And aside from that, your story isn't even over yet. You don't know that you won't have some of those same things, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. You don't know that you won't have the boat and the car and the things. Why don't you let God give you blessings? Do you believe that God knows your address? Do you believe for one second that if he needed to get something to you that he couldn't do it, that he's forgot? No, 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 no. He has your address, and your story isn't over. And by the way, your story is the story of the double portion blessing. That's what your story is. Your story is a rags-to-riches kingdom story. If there was a fairy tale that represented your story, it would be Cinderella, because we are the bride of Christ, men and women alike, And we got the Prince of Peace. He loves us. He has chosen us. But still people, I had a situation recently that was really, really funny. I had someone tell me, Pastor Pam, it seems like all of hell is against me. And I said, would you like to know why? And that girl said, yes. And I said, because all of hell is against you. It's as simple as that. It seems like all of hell is against me. It is. It is. But guess what? It doesn't matter. All I need to know is all of heaven is cheering me on. That's all I need to know. Yes, all of hell is against me. The devil and all his demons, but all of heaven is cheering me on. So let me say it like this. You've got some haters, okay? I've got bad news for you. You've got some haters. You know it. I know it. And can I say something else? They're good at what they do. They throw them rocks. They hide their hands. But you know what? You're not a rock thrower. You know why you don't have to be a rock thrower? Because you stand on a solid rock. You stand on the solid rock of Jesus. You have Jesus, and you're just not going to ever be a rock thrower. No matter how many rocks hit you, you are not a rock thrower. But you are a threat to hell. I can tell you that. You are a threat to hell. And that's why sometimes you get some rocks thrown your way. But I want to encourage you tonight. I just want this message to encourage you that you were created with a destiny that's attached to your life. You have a kingdom purpose for being here on this earth. And your purpose, like I said yesterday, it's not to sit around and watch TV or entertain yourself or even entertain other people. It's not to see how many fancy things that you can gather up on this earth that you're going to leave behind. You're here on a mission. You're an ambassador to the King. You're anointed, you're appointed, and you need to know who you are in Christ. And it doesn't matter what anybody else has. Don't be distracted by that. You have everything you need. God has equipped you. And if you've been going through hell lately, you may have some bruises to prove it. I fell down last week and got all these bruises. But can I tell you that bruises heal? Whether they're outside bruises or inside bruises, they heal. The bruises of your heart, they will heal because Jesus is the healer. And if you feel beat down, even tonight, like everyone is against you, I want to encourage you that there are more for you than there are that are against you. So let me just share one quick account from the Bible. And this is found in 2 Kings 6:13. And I'm going to give you the backstory. This is the king looking to kill Elisha in verse 13. Go out and find out where Elisha is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. The king wants to capture him and kill him. And the report came back, he's in Dothan. Then they sent horses and chariots and a strong military force. So there's one guy. There is one guy. And they send out the military. Okay, we're looking for Debbie to kill her. We've got to get the horses and chariots. And what is wrong with this picture? Military force, we're coming to get her. They went by night. They surrounded the city like this is some big mission. They're looking for one man, by the way, one man. When the servant of Elisha, the man of God, Gehazi, he got up and he went out early in the morning. He saw the military. He saw the army, the horses, the chariots, and they had surrounded the city. Keep in mind, they surrounded the city for one man. We're looking just for Debbie. We got the whole city surrounded. We're looking for her to capture her. There is something wrong with this. And Gehazi sees this. He gets up in the morning, he wipes his eyes, and he looks out, and he sees the military, and he knows why they're there. And he says, oh, no! Elisha, what shall we do? That's a good response, the servant asked. And here's what Elisha said. Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Wow. Do not be afraid. There's more with us. The last I checked, there's two of us, Elijah. There's two of us. What do you mean there's more for us than are against us? There's only two of us. I'm for you and you're for me. It doesn't seem like it. And Elisha prayed, and this was his prayer. He did not pray that the military would go away. He did not pray that they would get more people to help them. Here's what he prayed. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he can see. Sometimes we have eyes, but we see not. We have sight, but we don't have vision. I said this before. When you go into a doctor's office, an ophthalmologist, they are not checking your sight. You did not bump into the door. You have sight. They are checking your vision to measure your vision. What distance can you see? Peripheral, what can you see that's around you? So he prayed, open their eyes, open his eyes that he can see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. Lord, open our eyes tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, open our eyes so that we can see the things we need to see, Father God. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see that there are more for us than there are against us, Lord. And he saw the hills filled with horses and chariots of fire, and they were all around Elisha. And I loved this. There were chariots of fire. And then Elisha did something else. He prayed again. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Isn't this the coolest thing you ever read? He's saying, open his eyes, close their eyes. Lord, close the eyes of the enemy that he will not know, that they will not be able to spot me. They will not be able, their arrow cannot hit me because the enemy is blinded. Lord, close their eyes and open my eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of your people, God. What an amazing story. You know, I was sharing this, I think, with some of you with the church that in a few weeks I'm going to be having eye surgery, an eye lift for both of my eyes. And the doctor, the surgeon said, this is just going to open up a whole new world to you. You're going to see things that you, I mean, it's going to be amazing for you. And as soon as he said that, I said, Lord, open my spiritual eyes, Lord. You're right. I need to see. I need to see more of the goodness of God. I need to see an attack if it's coming. I need to see the blessing of the Lord and acknowledge the blessing of the Lord. And most of all, we need to see things as God sees them. See things as God sees them. And yes, the army was against them, but the armies of the living God are more than just one army that's against you. So it may seem sometimes like the enemy's about to win, but I've already read the last chapter of the book. He does not win. He is a defeated foe already. You can count on that he's been defeated, but not just defeated on the earth, defeated in your life. In your life, he's defeated. He's not winning you at all. So I want to encourage you not to quit, not to think about quitting, not to stop, not to slow down, and most of all, not to be distracted by what you see out there. When you see that it looks like the enemy's winning, when you see all of these things, it can be easy to become distracted if you're falsely accused like Joseph. It can be easy to get discouraged when it seems like everyone else is getting promoted, everyone else is getting a blessing and winning, and you're barely getting by, and you're singing the song, I can survive on the regular, I will survive. You know what? That's not how it is. God's got a plan for us, and God chooses the foolish things of the world, and he chooses the weak things to confound the wise. That enemy isn't counting on you doing anything, and that's why God uses us. Think about it like this. You are greater than all of hell on your worst day. I promise you. You are greater. You can stand against hell, all of hell, even on your hardest, most difficult day. Let me tell you, the devil may think that you're out of the game, but you're not, just like that man who was buried alive. And I know this because you're here tonight. I know this because you're breathing, and God still has things for you to do. So I want to talk to you for a minute about Paul being stoned also. Paul and Barnabas, and they're ministering in a place called Lystra, which is today is Asia Minor, which is Turkey. And this is taken from Acts 14. And I'm going to start with verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent, which means no strength, and lame in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, and he had never walked. This man had not taken one step. He had no strength to walk. He was lame. Something had happened. This could be anyone. Again, when it says a certain man, we're supposed to say, this could be me. It could be anyone. This unnamed man, something likely happened before he was born in the womb or during the birthing process. And now he's an adult man who has never walked. He doesn't know what it's like to walk. No one ever helped him to the couch to get him to try to walk. He never had walked ever. Verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. He heard Paul speak. How many of you know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? And that if you hear the word of God, that it's supposed to build faith in you. You may think, well, I'm sitting in church and I'm hearing the word of God. It's not doing much for me. And I would tell you that you're 100% incorrect, that the word of God encourages you and builds faith in you when you hear the stories and the accounts from the word of God, because these are not just mere parables. This is the truth. This really happened. Who steadfastly beholding him. This means Paul was looking at him. Have you ever had God put someone on your heart? Maybe, and I've had this times when I was speaking or even up here speaking, when God would just cause me to focus on someone and I just know that we need to talk to them, that they're hurting, that they're broken, that something. So this was Paul's situation. He noticed this guy. God, who does that? God, the Holy Spirit, points out people to you to minister to. And that's how Jesus notices us. He noticed the man by the pool. The man by the pool didn't know Jesus. Jesus knew him. I love that, because if you can't get to Jesus, Jesus will get to you. You may not have even considered Jesus, but Jesus considered you. He considered you enough to die on the cross for you. He saw you before you ever saw anything. Before you came out of your mother's womb, opened your eyes, and were able to see anything, Jesus saw you. Are you not thankful for that tonight? And we should, like Paul, by the way, also notice others in need, those in pain, those that are suffering. And Paul perceived that this man had faith to be healed, because this man was hearing him speak, and he thought, he has enough faith, this man could receive healing. And said Paul, in a loud voice, crying out basically, he ordered him, stand upright on your feet. And he, the certain man that we don't know his name, he leaped and walked. What stands out to you about this miracle? He had never walked a day in his life, and yet he had been lame for such a long time, likely discouraged, probably hopeless. But the thing that I love the most is the first time when Paul says, stand upright on your feet, and shouts at him, he doesn't just walk. He leaps. He jumps. Who taught him how to jump? Who told him? That's quite a leap of faith to say, when they say, Frida, stand up, and she's never stood up before, and all of a sudden she's leaping, she's running. Who showed her all of that? He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody had to teach him or help him. He did it all on his own. Nowhere does it say someone helped him. Nowhere. It was a supernatural miracle. So the people saw this and they knew this. And as idol worshipers, they believed suddenly that Paul and Barnabas were gods and they wanted to sacrifice to them. And this greatly troubled Paul and Barnabas so much that they ripped their clothes. They almost could not stop the people from sacrificing to them. They were, please don't sacrifice to us. Please don't sacrifice to us. It's not about us. And they start ministering to them. People don't always feel comfortable with the power of God. It frightens them. I'm going back to the story of the man at the grave in India. It frightens them. Why are you frightened, and why are you upset in any way about this young man coming back to life? It's not something you see every day, is it? It's a miracle. You're faced with the power of God. And you know what? That is an awesome thing, the power of God, isn't it? And that's why some people are uncomfortable with people speaking in tongues, and when they see manifestations of the Holy Spirit, of laughter or praising, because they're uncomfortable with the power of God, because it is so awesome. And he is a holy God, is he not? Yes, he is. And so this disturbed Paul and Barnabas. They tore their coats. They almost couldn't get the people to stop sacrificing to them, and they didn't feel comfortable. And so verse 10 goes on to say, now this is, now I want you to see something. In verse 9, we go from a supernatural miracle where we have a man who's never walked before, and all of a sudden, without anyone teaching him, he's jumping, he's running, he's leaping, and walking around without any help or provocation, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we go from this great miracle one verse away to verse 10, and it says, and there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people to have Paul stoned. You just facilitated, basically, a supernatural miracle for a man. And now we want to stone you in thanks. This is our thanks to you. We will now stone you. Drew him, and they stoned Paul. They stoned him, big rocks, and they took him out of the city, the Bible says, this is verse 10, supposing him to be dead. So they have stoned him. He's like that guy in India. He's now dead. They drag him outside the city, and this is about to get funny. They drag him outside the city. They assume, they suppose that he was dead. And this is what I want to talk about. Paul was in ministry. He was doing great things for God. He was faithful to God, and he was hated. And there was a group of people throwing rocks at him. Have you ever felt that way? I'm telling the truth. I serve the living God. I'm doing good deeds, and they stoned me for it. They're throwing rocks. And by the way, it was never one person throwing a rock. You know what? Nobody's brave enough to be the rock thrower. You know what they do? They get a group. They get a posse out after you. They go, come on, I don't like Debbie. Come on, Frida, Janice. It's time for us to throw the rocks. That's what they did here. And Paul did nothing wrong. He did nothing at all. But it's going to get funny, like I said. So here's this group of people. They're the rock throwers. They decide to kill him like the devil wants you dead. He wanted Paul dead too. And they got this group. They stoned him. They took his body outside the city, and they basically dumped him. They dumped him and left him for dead, supposing him to be dead. They thought they did it right. We thought we got rid of Miss Debbie. We thought we did. We thought we did a good job throwing rocks, but they were wrong. They were so wrong. Let's read a little further. Verse 20. However, as the disciples stood round about him, they're outside the city, he rose up. He rose up. After being stoned terribly and left for dead, and not only did he rise up, the very next day he continued ministering in the next town. They went on to the next town. Come on, they threw some rocks. They thought I was dead, but guess what? I'm not dead. It probably was the same situation as that guy in India. The disciples probably felt the same way. He's alive. He's moving. And he gets up. The shock is, it's another miracle. And so the next day he's ministering in the town. But this is what I love the most. Verse 21 says, and after they had preached the gospel to that city, which was Derbe, by the way, and this had happened in Lystra and Iconium, and after they preached in Derbe, I thought to myself, wow, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and they had taught many people, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium, the place that they had stoned him and left him for dead. I wanted to ask myself, Paul, hey, Paul, over here. Don't go back to Lystra. You know, you already been to Lystra. The rock throwers are in Lystra. But they went back to minister again. Why are you going back? But can't you imagine the people who stoned him when Paul comes Hi, everybody. I was drug outside the city. And, you know, you guys stoned me and everything, you know. And I took a break to minister in another city, but I've come back here. How's everybody? Can you imagine the scenario when he goes back into that city to minister? Let me tell you, Paul was fearless. He did not fear man. He feared the Lord God. And that's you. Maybe they thought they left you for dead. Maybe a whole group. You know, King David prayed a prayer, and I confess I prayed it before, and I know some of you have. Many are they increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. But the Lord, my God, he is with me. He is for me. He lives inside of me. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But I can imagine these people saying, isn't this the guy we killed just last week? Are we going to have to kill him all over again? Are we going to have to do this like a second time? But they can't. You know, you can't. And I remember my daughter saying this, and I shared it recently. You're only going to die one time. It's appointed unto man once, not twice, to die, except for Lazarus, to die. Unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And Paul knew this, and he had a destiny, and Barnabas had a destiny, and God had a work for them to do, and you can do it with no fear of the enemy, because even if they thought you were down, you were not out. Even if you were close, you were not. You know what? That's the way it's going to work. You don't have to worry. You can't keep a good man down or a good woman down. You can't keep a God-fearing man or woman down, because God is going to cause you to rise up, just like he rose up Lazarus, the lame man, Paul, the man at the pool. God's going to bring you back again. You're going to rise up again. You know, to stand up. If the Bible had said just stand up in all of these instances, by the way, the stand up here was the translation rise up. But every time it says rise up, that's not a physical act. To stand to your feet is a physical act. To rise up is spiritual. That is totally, completely different. To rise up is resurrection, is to come back again, is to be alive, made alive again. He will quicken your mortal body. They thought he was dead. It was pretty hilarious. They certainly thought he would stop preaching. They supposed he was dead. He was wrong. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that your situation is dead? Do you believe your marriage is dead? Do you believe those friendships are dead? Do you believe that things in your life have died that could never be resurrected again? I'm telling you that's not the truth. I'm telling you that's a lie from the enemy, because we will rise up. We are the body of Christ. We are believers in Christ Jesus. And if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken our mortal bodies. So if you're beat down, you can jump up. You can leap. You can rise up, because Christ lives in you. What a testimony. We're going to ask our music team to come, because we certainly need to purpose this in our heart tonight, that we are not down and out. If you've been beat up and you're on the ground, get up, because God has a work for you to do. Paul didn't waste any time getting up. That lame man did not waste any time getting to his feet, standing to his feet. He decided, I'm not just going to walk. I'm going to leap. I'm going to jump. I'm going to run. I can do things with my feet. What a testimony to the unbelievers who hated you. What a testimony to the rock throwers out there that here you are, she's back in town. Here you are. Here's Janice again preaching the gospel. Man, the rock throwers came for her, but she's not dead. She's not dead. She's alive in Christ Jesus. So I just wanted to encourage you tonight through this word from Paul. I thought it was just the funniest story ever that Paul was drug out of the city like that, and that his body was all but buried, and here he comes marching back into the same city where these people had stoned him. Pretty funny, but God has such a sense of humor. So be encouraged tonight that God's not finished with you. He's got such a wonderful work for you to do.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.